All right, this is a list of business practices and trade practices that many contractors screw up on. The first is the non-specific diagnosis. Can't tell you how many times over the years somebody has called me asking about a new furnace or AC, and I usually ask them what's wrong with the old one, and they usually don't know, you know, at least not really. And that's because in many cases, the technician will just simply tell you that it's too old, you can't get parts, or it's shot, but they don't really explain things. And that's because most repair guys are on commission and they don't want to explain, because if they explained thoroughly, that you'd realize it's fixable. So don't settle for some vague it's shot or it's too old or you can't get parts. In most cases, there is a very specific reason why your system isn't working that they need to explain in detail, that you, and so that you understand it. Even if repairing isn't a great option, you need to at least get the explanation. The next one is the undocumented/undisclosed diagnosis. Now, some technicians go the other route when trying to sell you a new furnace. They will give you a million reasons why it's bad, many of which might be exaggerations or outright lies. And then, of course, the paperwork says virtually nothing. Oh, man, I just can't tell you how many times I've seen that. And that's because, of course, they are exaggerating or lying. And they want, you know, if they wrote it down, you'd be able to call them out later. So they just avoid writing things down. So if they have really bad news, make them write it down. If they don't want to write it down, something's up. Another one is the undisclosed diagnosis, which is kind of weird given I just mentioned the too many diagnosis problem there. But that's in a scenario where maybe a guy goes up into the attic and he, you know, he wants to make the money. He wants to fix your furnace. And some furnaces make water. And so he notices rust where that indicates a possible leak. Well, I'm going to tell you as a technician, I know it's just a pain in the butt to deal with water leaks sometimes. And in many cases, the water leak is small. And, or at least the evidence of the water leak, they may not even be seeing the leak, they just see the evidence of it. The evidence is relatively small, and a lot of times there's a little pan there to catch that stuff. So they know that if they ignore it, it'll take years and years before that water finally rusts through that pan and potentially damages the ceiling. And at that point, it's, you know, they're long gone, it's not their problem. So they just don't mention it. You know, and because I've gone up in the attics, found rust, and some guy had been there before me in recent times. I say, did he mention the rust? Did he mention the water leak? They're like, nope, nope, nope. It's usually no. So, unfortunately, there's not much you can do about that. But anyway, overbooking, waiting on parts, a classic tactic. People want quick response. They say they want quality, and they do. They say they want this, they want, you know, good prices, whatever they say they want. But what they really want is today, because when they're cold and they're hot, that's all they want. And contractors know that. So they will sometimes book 10, 12 appointments for one technician in one day. Now, it is impossible to fix that many, at least in most cases. I can actually say I've done that on days that I worked 12, 14 hours. But by and large, you can't fix 10 or 12 systems in a day. You can diagnose 10 or 12 systems. That's what they do. They say they go out and they do 8, 10, 12 diagnoses, or, you know, maybe a couple repairs if they're super quick, knowing that once you've paid that trip charge, you will likely wait. And so a classic scenario is somebody will call me on a Monday, and maybe I'm booked for Monday, and I can go on Tuesday. Well, I would probably have it fixed on Tuesday, at least 90% of the time I do. But Tuesday is not quick enough for that Monday person. So the Monday customer calls, and I get somebody on Monday. And that contractor goes, yeah, we need to get the part from wherever. And you know, the part could be sitting on their van. Doesn't matter. They got too many appointments, so they can't take time to fix it. And they'll say, yeah, we have to go get the part. We'll see you on Wednesday or Thursday. And so in reality, the customer who wanted service on Monday gets repaired a day or two after I might have had it repaired on Tuesday. And that's just a way of smoothing out the bumps, because they can take more of the market, because these things come in surges. So they can take more of the market by getting all these people hooked with the diagnosis, so that when the surge settles down, they still got appointments going with all these repairs that they've had to push out. So classic tactic. The repairman-salesman switch. You know, when it's busy, there just aren't enough repairmen to get everybody taken care of right away. It's just physically impossible. So, you know, some contractors like me, I ask lots of questions on the phone, because every now and then, it's not most of the time, but at least some of the time, if I ask you enough questions, I can sometimes figure out the problem on the phone and just take care of it then and there without me having to come out. But other contractors will ask you lots of questions, probing to find, you know, how old your unit is and whether they can sell you a new one. And when it's really busy and their technicians are completely booked out and they've figured out that you have some ancient system or you just simply volunteered that, in many cases, they'll send out a salesman because, you know, he can't really fix it. But a lot of salesmen know enough language that they can sort of convince you they're a professional repairman, and they'll flash their light in there, you know, make a little noise, give you some horrible diagnosis, and sell you a new one, because they're expert salesmen is what they really are. So they just have to be pretend to be a repairman when in reality they're a salesman. And in many cases, customers never even know they never saw a actual repairman. They just bought a new system because they actually saw a salesman and paid him $70 for it too. By the way, that's funny. Anyway, last one here. Misapplied sealant and other additives. I almost wanted to put sealant on the junk they sell list, but it's not actually junk. It is the trade practice they screw up of misapplying it. So rather than getting into the details of that, I'll just tell you this. In my experience, because there are no official stats out there, in my experience, sealant maybe works 30% of the time. And it maybe does nothing 60% of the time. And then maybe 10% of the time, not only does it not work, but it gums something up in the system. See, no real major HVAC manufacturer approves of the stuff. I think there's one minor one that I don't really care about who does theoretically approve. But point is, you don't just throw sealant in there willy-nilly. You better be careful how you use it, because it can actually make things worse. And a lot of contractors, rather than using it judiciously, it's their go-to, because it's this miracle goo. They don't have to find and fix the leak the old way, which is the hard way. They just pour this can of goo in there, and then maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it screws things up, and a week later, you don't have AC, and you're buying a new AC. So watch out for misapplied sealant. Now, acid neutralizer is much less risky, but again, it could be misapplied. Leak detection dye, even less riskier still, but it's still an additive that most manufacturers don't want in their system. The go-to for leak detection is leak detectors, little Geiger counter sounding things that actually sniff the Freon out. That's what they should be using first. I rarely use dye. I only use it when my back is against the wall, because again, it's an additive. Not to mention, it's messy. The stuff gets everywhere. All right, so that is practices they fail.